Hello. Welcome back. How's it going? What's up? This is Everything Else, episode number 16. I'm your host, the man himself, the fresh-faced, confused person behind the curtain. That's me, Connor Franta. How's it going? I'm thrown off for so many reasons right now at this moment. It's been a long holiday weekend, currently Sunday, but I feel like it's been Sunday for the past 4 days because here in America, we celebrated Thanksgiving. Weird holiday to celebrate once you're fully aware of the history of it. Yikes, very strange, but it just, you know, traditionally, you get together and you eat food with friends or family. So I guess in theory, I'm not celebrating kind of the horrific history of Thanksgiving. I'm more just using it as an excuse to get together with friends and family. But it's been very weird because the past 4 days, no one's been doing anything. Everything's been closed. Everyone's just been really lethargic, laying on their couches full of random foods. It's been a lot. So we'll talk about that. And then the other reason I'm thrown off, I'll talk about later. But up on the agenda for today, the podcast is a bunch of sad news. I'm laughing my way through it. I feel like that's how I cope with semi sad news or news that is off putting. But we're gonna go through it. We'll figure it out. First thing we're gonna talk, or eventually we're gonna talk about the Grammys. We're gonna be talking about Mr. Beast. Man has hit a new level of insane. We're gonna be talking about the new COVID strain. Oh my God, so fun. Just girly things. Cute, sparkles, glitter. New COVID strain. NASA putting in millions of dollars into stopping the Earth from being blown to bits by an asteroid that's heading our way. And then the thing that's currently really deeply throwing me off, Virgil, I can't even speak. That's how much is throwing me off. Virgil Abloh, the creative director and creator in general of Off-White, as well as the creative director of Louis Vuitton since 2018, passed away incredibly suddenly this morning. And it's genuinely throwing me for a loop because it reminds me of how I felt when Chadwick Boseman passed and how just like shocking it was. It was, you know, rarely am I ever fully shocked, but I just didn't ever even think that this was something that was possible. So it really threw me off. So we'll talk about that a little bit later. Again, try to keep it light, but it's a little bit of a sad news day. So we'll start off with what happened to me on Thanksgiving. And we'll go from there. So again, weird times, Thanksgiving. That's all I've been up to. I cooked for the very first time, almost a full Thanksgiving feast. I'll give it up to me and my bestie Arden Rose. We cooked and had Thanksgiving with a bunch of our British friends that are in town. You know, obviously people from London are not celebrating American Thanksgiving, but when they happened to be here for it, so we were going to cook them a very traditional American Thanksgiving dinner, a feast for these proper British gentlemen. So I said, okay, I'm going to take on a casserole. I'm going to take on a Jell-O, a cornbread, some veggies to keep it light. And then I also took on the role of making the pumpkin pie. And Arden did a bunch of other casseroles and things as well. So we did that. And I'm fucking shocked that we pulled it together. I have said this before. It might have even been the last podcast. But there is nothing more stressful to me than hosting or preparing a meal for a group of people or being in charge of something like a holiday evening. That gives me so much stress and anxiety because if you mess it up, in my brain, it's like a catastrophe. It ruins everyone's day and night if you mess it up. So much weight is on your shoulders. And I take that on and I take it very seriously. So it's a lot. But I will say, conquer your fears, folks. It was a fun time. I had a great time. As soon as I started cooking, naturally I had been planning it out like to a T. Got all of my ingredients 2 days before, called my mom, made sure my recipes were correct. And then I spent the entire day before cooking And it was so enjoyable. It was so enjoyable. I had a really good time. Nothing went wrong. I followed a Bon Appetit, Claire from Bon Appetit Test Kitchen. She made a like fancy pumpkin pie recipe. I followed her pumpkin pie recipe. I browned some butter. I used some local wild honey. It's amazing. A gluten-free crust just for flavor, just for fun. And it was a lot of fun. I had a really good time. I was shocked that everything turned out as good as it honestly could have. Nothing went wrong. I didn't forget any ingredients. Nothing was overcooked. The pie didn't... I was worried that... I didn't realize how many fucking eggs were in a pumpkin pie. I don't know what I thought was in it. I didn't realize it was all eggs. So as soon as I realized it was all eggs, I thought, this orange dish of death is going to curdle and it's going to be like scrambled eggs. Gross, disgusting, no thanks. It didn't. It was fine. It was really delicious, actually. And then the casserole. What's funny is that if you've never experienced an American Thanksgiving, it's jarring. Again, like the history aside, because that's jarring enough. If you're not enlightened on what actually happened or like what we were actually celebrating, I'm putting air quotes around it because it's all just... It's just typical, isn't it? America not realizing, America hiding from the truth of its roots. Classic. But what everyone else like truly celebrates that they forget the real history, but what we really celebrate is just food. Everyone just eats and it's so American. Like Arden was crumbling Ritz crackers on one dish. We were putting marshmallows on sweet potatoes. Cheese on everything. Mushroom soup goes in every dish. It makes no sense. It's so American. It's so disgusting. It's so gross, but so delicious at the same time. So we had that. Drove out to the desert. My friends are in the desert staying near a place called Joshua Tree, which is like it's a national park. So they have these things called yucca or yucca trees. Very, very desertous, very like Breaking Bad. I just assume you're either there for... It's weird to think that anyone lives there because it feels so barren and mischievous. Like, it feels like everyone is up to no good there. I don't know why. I've never seen anything bad going on there, but it feels like there's just bad things happening, you know? It feels like there's drugs being smuggled and people dying and things mischiefed. I don't know, there's something that feels weird about it when you're there, but we went there and it was really enjoyable. Everyone really liked the food. We were all laughing about how just comical the food is too, and it was a really good time. So that's what I did. That's what I spent my time on. And then when I got back, it's just been chill ever since. I've been doing like nothing. Again, very vanilla over here. Not a lot going on. So yeah, let's hop into one of our stories, shall we? Honestly, I hate to say let's get it over with, but like let's put it at the top of the show so hopefully it doesn't end the show super sadly. But Virgil's passing is so strange to me. It's, I don't know, you know, how familiar people are with him. I'm very familiar because I, you know, just am a fan of fashion. I love looking at fashion. I've loved the few fashion shows I've gone to. I really enjoy design and clothing and colors and all that. And the reason Virgil was so, you know, interesting and amazing was because he was so new. Like, I was looking up some of his history before this just to make sure I got it correct. But he's really only been in, like, the public eye for less than a decade. Like, I think they said Off-White, you know, his very famous street brand, was only founded in 2012. It's so new. And to think about how large his impact and imprint was in such a short period of time really speaks to his genius. Like, you know, people were a little bit conflicted with some of his designs towards the end, but at the end of the day, like, you still got people talking. You still created something truly massive from nothing. In less than a decade. He was only 41 years old. You know, his brand is a multi-million dollar brand. He was the head creative chief head creative. Jeez, Connor, come on. He was like the creative director of Louis Vuitton since 2018, which is, you know, one of the most famous brands in the entire world. Again, speaks to his credibility or to his artistic point of view that they would even entrust him with that. So yeah, I woke up to his name trending on Twitter, clicked it, and he passed away from apparently cancer that he was battling for the past few years. And it's just, it reminds me of Chadwick Boseman because it was so shocking, because all you did was see them in their limelight. All you did was see them in their glory. I saw him doing all these amazing shows, dressing all these amazing people, being at these amazing events, just being amazing. Chadwick was nothing different. You saw him in Black Panther, you saw him on red carpets and in interviews, people speaking so highly of him, and then just they're gone. And like, I don't even know either of them, and it's affecting me. I can't imagine knowing them personally. But, you know, I mean, like, it just goes to show you don't know what people are going through. You know, anybody could seemingly be on top of the world, quite literally for both of them. You know, to me, again, Virgil was at like the one of the peaks of his career. And he's just gone. You know, it's over. And it's so unsettling. It's so, like, it brings me to tears just thinking about it right now. About how fragile life is and how special it is to be living it. Even if you feel like you're in a bad place, it's like, damn, at least you're alive. Like, you could be in the best place and then it's just done the next day. So it was really, really, really startling. I knew a lot of people that looked up to him and saw him as an inspiration for a lot of things that they did. Because in a way, he made the underdog feel represented. He made people starting a new endeavor like feel like success was obtainable in some way. I remember feeling really inspired by his designs because it really felt like something new, but also something that I could do myself in a way. And it just gave me hope that like I could one day do something, you know, even a sliver as amazing as him. So I don't know. It was startling. I found him to be an incredibly inspiring person. And it was just sad, man. It's just fucking sad. It's really, really sad. So I guess, you know, there's not much more to say than that, but it's just yet another reminder to, you know, treat people with kindness. You don't know what they're going through, but then also just to hold yourself not accountable, but to hold to really appreciate each moment you have with each day, for better or for worse, with each person you have, for better or for worse. So go, you know, go tell people you love them. Go appreciate the little things of life, because at least you're able to have them and to hold them and to see them and to feel them. So yeah. Okay, feeling very small right now. Let's try and move on to something semi-fucking enjoyable. God, I had to talk about that. I could not. It's what's plaguing my mind right now. I feel very affected by it. But let's talk about something and try and momentarily forget about it. Okay, I saw this interesting headline that says NASA. NASA is crashing. What is wrong with me? Oh my God, Connor. Wake up. NASA is crashing a space probe into an asteroid so that we don't end up extinct like the dinosaurs. You know, like, that fucking caught me. I'm a fish. Ooh, hooked. Hook in my mouth. You got me. I clicked. Thank you, Bloomberg quick take, say that 10 times fast. So apparently NASA, I feel like this is inspired by the pandemic, FYI. I feel like people are now like, maybe we should prepare for the worst. Seems like the worst has happened. Maybe we should prepare for it. Duh. Seems like an interesting concept. We got money, let's prepare for it. So NASA is apparently now, like, I don't know if you've seen these articles. I've seen them come about every few years or so, but it's like, you didn't realize it, but while you were sleeping last night, an asteroid passed just by Earth and could have killed us all, but it didn't. Giant space rock zooms past our planet, doesn't end life, but it could have. Feeling comfortable? Well, you shouldn't be. Fuck off. Oh my God. God, we don't have enough to worry about. Christ. So apparently NASA is finally taking this seriously. And again, as you know, I love space. Love the future. Love all that kind of stuff. So I find it super interesting that they're trying to solve this problem. Essentially, what they're doing, which it feels so like primal or primitive, but they're basically saying like, oh, a big rock's going to fly and hit us in the planet. We're going to hit it first. Which like how else do you stop it? It's like, oh, you're going to hit me. I'm going to hit you first. So they're planning that if like a big asteroid is going to hit Earth, they're going to shoot a space probe, a spaceship, a big expensive piece of technology and run it right into it. Boom, and then knock it off course so it doesn't hit us. Which just, you know, honestly, if someone put me in the room and said, Connor, what do you think we should do? That's what I would have said. Well, credited scientist, do you know what I think? I think it's moving towards us. We should push it back. How much will that cost us? $1 billion? Cool. You know that this is so expensive, by the way, but I guess you can't put a price on literally saving human existence. Human existence. They can't compare it to the extinction of dinosaurs without it being serious. So they're literally going to shoot a space probe at a giant rock, probably sometime within our lifetime. I guarantee it's going to happen, and it's going to knock it just off course enough that it floats around our planet and goes away. Cool. I am so glad smart people exist and people are thinking about this and planning for this, because I can't even plan what I'm going to have for dinner. That stresses me out, let alone a giant rock flying at Earth at 1 billion miles per hour going to destroy us all. Insane. It's insane. That's all I gotta say. Oh, the joys of it all. COVID-19. There's a new strain of COVID-19. It's called Omicron. Omicron. It sounds like a transformer. Omicron. Omicron. At least it's not Delta. It was too close to Delta Airlines, my favorite airline, FYI. Omicron, which sounds much more terrifying. There's a new COVID strain that apparently is sweeping the world. It started, don't know the correct words there. The variant began in South Africa, and now everyone is freaking out because they saw how the Delta variant moved so quickly around the world and put us all in another wave of lockdowns and, you know, major deaths and everything. So now everyone's freaking out and taking precautions. I think President Joe Biden already closed borders from certain African countries to enter the U.S. And, you know, everyone else is taking major precautions too. But again, this is just like, there's not much to be said here yet, but all I'm going to say is, how many times do I need to remind you to get vaccinated? How many times? Also, how many times do I need to remind you to not hang out with people who aren't vaccinated? If don't let them feel like that's an okay choice. Don't let them feel normal. It's fucking not. It's not a joke. This isn't going away. I can't believe that people think that, like, the amount of times that I've read or heard people just say, we just got to keep living. We just got to go back to normal. It's going to be like this forever. Bitch, no, what? There is a fix here. They spent billions of dollars investing in something to fix this. We just need everyone to take it. Only 59% of Americans are vaccinated, apparently. And there have been 5.2 million deaths worldwide from COVID. 777 6,000 in the U.S. alone. And people aren't taking this seriously. I don't know what's wrong. I don't know what's wrong with people. Like, do you ever just feel, how many of you, if you're American, if you're anybody, but if you're American and you're listening to this and you had Thanksgiving, how many conversations were had? I would love to hear your conversations over Thanksgiving dinner. Luckily, mine were with a bunch of sane young people. So all of us are on the same wavelength here, but I want to know some of the conversations everyone had over Thanksgiving dinner. Because if I was with, like, not my direct family, my extended family, oh my God, fists would have been thrown. I would have been punching over some of the things people would have been saying. So I'm curious what people had to go through during these times. But dude, just like get vaccinated, get boosted, keep wearing your masks, and also try your damn best to continue to get your family members and extended family members vaccinated. It's the only way to end this. It's the only way. I know it sucks. I know we have to keep putting up with children throwing tantrums over something so easy to fix in terms of, like, all you have to do your part is wear a mask and get vaccinated. Then you're done. You can feel good about yourself. Good for you. Good for you. You did the absolute minimum. Just keep pushing for it, because it's the only way to the end. That's all I got to say. This is so sad. This is such a sad episode. So Mr. Beast put out another video. I'm not subscribed to Mr. Beast. Ooh, that's tea. But do I sometimes watch his videos? Yes, I do. Mr. Beast. Oh my God, he's gotten like a million subscribers since I just like refreshed the page. Man's crazy. Mr. Beast has 81 million subscribers. He has a video called Squid Game in Real Life that he released that has 100 million views. In 4 days, 100 million views in 4 days. Do people not, I think we can't even comprehend how insane that is. Like y'all, do you know how many people watch blockbuster movies? I know it's different, but just think, or do you know how many people like tune into the Grammys or the Oscars or like these big, like even the Super Bowl? That is a fucking huge number, 100 million people. That's almost 33% of the United States population in 4 days clicked a Mr. Beast video. That power. This man is too powerful. That's crazy. So this video came out on, I think it was the day before Thanksgiving, and I forgot it was coming out. I definitely was going to watch it, FYI. I know like there was some debate if this was ethical or if we should be glorifying this video, or if an American should be copying something, you know, from a different culture or that was created from a different, either way, whatever. I get that, but either way, I was going to at least watch it because I was curious to see his production level and to see if he actually did do it justice. And man, say what you want, but holy shit. He put this thing together in like 2 or 3 weeks, and it's insane. He spent $3.5 million. Like he got full 456 people to participate in it, built every single set, everything was real. And everyone also went away with like some prize money. And then the winner of it went away with $456,000. Insane that just a human being can do that. One person, he's just a guy. He's just a guy. You know what I mean? Like what? Just like, it's hard to comprehend this, that he could do that. If someone gave me $3.5 million and said, recreate Squid Game now, just do it, I would have no idea where to begin. Who would you call? Who would I call to build that? Who would I call to film that? Who would I call? How would I get 456 people to participate in it? Like, it's, the amount of power that he has is ridiculously impressive. And I know people are worried about Jeff Bezos and like Tim Cook and you know, other Elon Musk, a ton of other billionaires around the world. I'm worried about Mr. Beast. Mr. Beast has too much power. Mr. Beast is, he could do anything. He could say anything. 100 million people he has influence over. It's crazy. 100 million people, 500,000 comments, 10 million likes in 4 days. I just found the whole thing to be super impressive and genuinely really enjoyable. I am very curious, though, how he was able to do this without getting sued, because it doesn't sound like he has permission to copy Squid Game to a T. And he copied it to a T. Like, he even used the music from the movie. He used the exact same names of the games, everything. Like, it was, you know, a direct copy. So I wonder how legally that works. Because, like, it's not legal to do that normally. But in theory, he's just, I guess it's just benefiting Netflix. Because the 100 million people that watched his channel, there's gotta be a few that haven't seen the show. And now they're gonna go watch the show because they liked the video. Like, no one is going to only watch this video and not the show. So I feel like it only benefits Netflix, but it's very interesting. I find it all very interesting and just slightly terrifying, like everything else this week. And here I am stressed about filming like a podcast, and he's out there filming videos like this in a few weeks. I'm so weak. The Grammys are not going to get a sliver of what Mr. Beast just got, which is wild. I wonder if they hosted the Grammys on Mr. Beast's YouTube channel, if it did better than if they did what they normally do. So I'd be very curious. The Grammys are coming up. They announced the nominations, and honestly, it feels still like we're in like this weird COVID world where I'm like, what music has come out? What could possibly be nominated? It feels like no one's doing anything. What is reality? So that came out, and some of the nominations are for Record of the Year. We have a song by ABBA, classic, Jean Baptiste, Tony Bennett and Lady Gaga, Justin Bieber, Brandi Carlisle? I don't actually know who that is. Doja Cat, Billie Eilish, Lil Nas X, Olivia Rodrigo, Silk Sonic, you know, a whole bunch of people, so many people. And like, I was just asking the other day, I couldn't even believe that Olivia Rodrigo's album came out this year. To me, it feels like it's like 3 years old. Like, it's weird to me that all happened this year. It feels like it's ancient. I think so many things have happened, even though it feels like nothing has happened. So my brain just can't comprehend that. But like, in terms of song of the year, I mean, a record of the year, honestly, Olivia Rodrigo fucking swept it. Between Olivia Rodrigo and Lil Nas, I think one of those, or even Doja, I think those three are like the obvious front runners here, because they've made the most impact in such a short period of time. Lil Nas is the same way. Same with like album of the year. I need to listen to this Jean Baptiste album because it's been nominated for two things and I haven't listened to it. I didn't even realize Lady Gaga released hers this year. Again, I thought this was released like 2 years ago. Justin Bieber. I mean, like, no hate, but I feel like Justin Bieber gets nominated for everything he puts out, regardless of if it deserves it or not. So it's just, I don't know. He has had a few hits this year. Doja Cat should win something too. She's swept. She is swept. Billie, obviously love Billie. Her is always nominated for her. H.E.R. is always nominated. Lil Nas X is nominated for Album of the Year. Taylor Swift, Evermore. See, and that one's weird because that technically came out last year. So in my mind, that one has already passed, even though I fucking love that album. But in my mind, it's gone. And then Donda by Kanye West, which I actually didn't listen to and I heard wasn't that great. But you know, there's a lot of Kanye stands out there. So that's just how I feel about really all of these. It's not even the artist. I just don't even feel connected to a lot of the music this year for some reason. I will say I'm much more of a champion of new artists. So to see like Glass Animals up there, Arlo Parks is best new artist, Japanese Breakfast, Olivia Rodrigo, so many people that I love that music. I love the more indie side, the newcomers, the up and comers. So to see best new artist nominations like that, that's great. You know, I would love for Arlo Parks to win it. Been championing Arlo for like, since like since like the beginning. I feel like I really love Arlo's music, but you know, honestly, it could go to Olivia Rodrigo. She's swept. Olivia Rodrigo defined the last like 12 months. Queen, absolute queen. She's really taken over. Really cool to see Finneas got nominated as well. Again, Glass Animals too, because Glass Animals was on like an early Common Culture album. So I have truly been a fan for a really long time. So it's just always cool to see people finally getting that recognition. Anyways, not too excited about the Grammys. Don't really care. I hate to say it. I really hate to say it. I'll be very happy for whoever wins. But I'm just finding it difficult to care about a lot of things at the moment. Anybody else? Let me know in the comments down below, because something's off. Something's off in my brain. Oh boy, that about wraps it up. This is everyone's favorite portion of the podcast, Everything Else, where I talk to you about my favorite music, my favorite movies, and give some praise to y'all as well. I do want to say I watched a brilliant movie last night. It's called Take Shelter from 2011. Starring Michael Shannon and Jessica Chastain. I really enjoy this movie. Someone on TikTok recommended, if you like the movie Arrival, which is like a space sci-fi movie, that you would like this movie. So I immediately said, yes, I'm into it. Love a semi kind of eerie dystopian sci-fi film. And this one was very palatable. There's no like real supernatural element, even though you kind of like there is, but it's not like aliens. It's more like is what is happening, is it reality or is it supernatural? But it's done in a way that feels like reality. I don't know, you have to watch it. I really enjoyed it. It was beautiful. The directing and the cinematography and whoever did the color grading of that film, oh my god, it's so delicious. Like every scene I just kept pausing being like, holy shit, those blues, oh my god, that orange. It was just really, really, really simple and well done in that sense, and the acting was just so great. And for music, I would like to recommend Garden of Eden by Billy Martin. This is the acoustic version that I'm recommending, because the full song and the full album was out earlier this year, but Billy released an acoustic version that is really good. Really, really good. It's so pleasant to listen to. And considering what I know you're gathering from my foggy mental state today, it was really relaxing and I really enjoyed it. So thank you, Billy, for giving me some peace and serenity during these very turbulent times. And, you know, I got to give at least one little shout out. Thank you to everyone who's been rating the podcast, who's been leaving comments and likes. You know, ever since YouTube turned off the dislike button, I'm very confused if people like or dislike my content. So let me know by clicking the like button down below and giving us a 5-star review over on Apple. Today, I just want to give a shout out to one particular person, Rachel. Rachel on YouTube left a comment that said, quote, "Deep throat that cone and blast out of there," quote, "made me almost choke on my cereal." Thanks, Rachel. Some would say I'm a poet. Some would say I'm a New York Times best-selling author. I don't even remember saying that, FYI. Sometimes I just say things and just it's a napkin in the wind. Just it just goes, and I forget that it ever existed. So thank you for everyone leaving comments, clicking that like button, giving 5-star reviews everywhere you can give reviews. I appreciate you deeply. Sorry for the semi-melancholic video, a little bit down, a little bit, again, turbulent, but I appreciate everyone listening. Every week is just a joy to be here, so I appreciate you, genuinely, during the good and the bad and the confusing and the uplifting. So thank you. I hope you all have a lovely, lovely week ahead. It's December, I think, when this comes out, or tomorrow's December, so brr, year's coming to an end and I feel it. It's getting nice and chilly outside. I love it. Thank you. You know, make sure to go get vaccinated if you can. Get your booster shots, people. Get a full night's rest. Sleep is so very important. Drink some chilled water. Delicious H2O. Be kind to one another. And I'll see you or hear you, or you'll hear me in the next one. Bye.